Good evening.
Good evening.
This is the Recreation and Parks Commission Board. I'd like to call roll. Actually, I'm just going to make note of those that are absent. I'm going to make note of Johnny Munoz, Anita Ayub, and Vice Chairperson John Bates. Okay. And so next, after the call to order, I'd like to do a moment of silence. Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to open it up for public and use the help. Thanks for being here.
Another announcement I had for the commissioners were some dates I had promised for CPRS. Their annual training conference is in March, and it is March the 5th through the 8th. And that conference this year is being held in San Jose. You should have some information in some of the CPRS publications that we've been forwarding on to you. If you have any questions or are very interested in going, give me a call, drop me an email, and we can I can help coordinate that for you. District 8 from CPRS is having an awards and installation dinner. This is their annual event. Excuse me. This will be held on March the 15th. And it's traditionally held actually it's various locations, either north or south in our district. This year it's going to be at Tascadero Lake Pavilion, and that's on Friday the 15th of March. And following that, and the reason why we're moving our slow capra workshop, this is a commissioner's workshop we've had in quite a few years up at Hearst Castle, we're relocating it to the Lake Pavilion this year. So we're trying to piggyback with CPRS, District 8, and their awards installation dinner on Friday night. And anybody within our district who's traveling to this particular event could spend the night locally and then attend our commissioner's workshop, which promises to be as dynamite as ever. And that's going to be on March the 16th, Saturday. So both will be held at the Tascadero Lake Pavilion. And we do have a field trip after our slow capper event as well, like we had at Hearst Castle. Mm-hmm. So let me know if you're interested in attending either one of those two events or the conference as well. Our spaghetti dinner is going to be on, I believe I got it on March the 22nd. And I have, that's at the Morro Bay Community Center. And last call tonight for those who want to play co-ed soccer. Co-ed Soccer League starts on Monday, the 21st, which is next Monday evening. We will still take registrations if you want to come in tomorrow, Friday, or even early Monday to sign up. We'll be willing to get you in some co-ed soccer. And they play out at Lila Kaiser on Monday nights. And that's all for my announcements. Thank you.
Excuse me, would you repeat the dates of the spaghetti dinner?
22nd.
March?
March. I believe that's a Friday. That's the fourth Friday of the month. And we'll have more information for you on that. We've got some other meetings that are in the next week or two, working on some details, and we'll be able to correspond with you guys via email.
Is it Friday?
Fourth Friday.
Fourth Friday.
Okay, that's it. Thank you, Mr. Woods. Can I get a motion to move item B1, please, to the end of the agenda?
Sure, I'll make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we move B1 to the end of the agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? None. Okay, let's go to our public comment period. And is there anybody in the audience that would like to come forward? You can do so now. Okay, And seeing as how there's nobody in the audience, we're going to close public comment period. Can I get a motion to accept A1 through A3 for file?
I motion to accept A1 through A3 for file.
Oh, Mike.
I accept the motion.
Thank you. Please speak into your microphone.
I accept the motion.
Okay, can I get a second?
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? None. Okay, Mr. Woods, we'd like to hear from you regarding A4, please.
Thank you and good evening, Commissioners. A4 is your monthly, or actually bi-monthly, status report. This is where the department summarizes some of the progress and projects that we have going on throughout our services and programs. If there's any one in particular that you'd like me to expand on, I will. I'll go through and highlight some things. Over at North Point, the natural area, which is an assessment district north part of town, we have completed the construction, or actually the maintenance project on the staircase, where we've replaced the upper section a few months ago, and we finished the middle and the bottom section just recently. It's actually just a banner type of a board that designates Lila Kaiser East and Lila Kaiser West. And we'll be certainly open up for any kind of sponsorships, panels that could be applied to those scoreboards on the bottom sections, but the top sections identify both field locations. And just recently we had the teens out there over the winter break, and they did some restriping on the parking lot. So your teen action club is definitely in action, and they are taking great pride in their adopt-a-park, which is Lila Kaiser, as well as their restriping of public parking lots. And they've done the teen center, and the second one now is Lila Kaiser, and then we'll be moving them throughout the town as time and their resources permit. The Cloister Assessment District is going well. We're having a neighborhood meeting. We're trying to schedule one for the first Wednesday in February. Once that date's confirmed, we'll send out a news flash via Notify Me. Staff did participate in a street summit last Monday. That was Street Summit 2013. We met with a Public Works staff as well as the Public Works Advisory Board regarding their special meeting focused on streets and street repairs. And there should be some summary minutes and recommendations coming from that board to City Council. If you're interested, keep your eye on that. Staff has been instrumental in helping the move of MV Transit from their previous location on Harbor Street next to City Hall. Now they are in the downstairs office at the Morro Bay Community Center. It was also where their bus stops. But the transit office is now successfully moved and operating out of the Morro Bay Community Center downstairs office. And I won't read all of these, but if there's something I've passed up, please let me know. A very significant change in some of our operations. We met with the school district's principal over at Los Osos Middle School about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago, and worked on some details and taking over the boys' volleyball program, our team. And that'll be happening here in the next couple weeks, where we'll be running the boys' volleyball program. But basically, they're going to hopefully field one team, maybe two. They've got 5 home games scheduled. We'll be coordinating the volunteer coaching, the uniforms, the practice and game times, and the officials, and any other incidentals that go along with that league play. So we're very excited about getting in and helping out the middle school. We feel that this is going to take off, and we'll be assisting with the track and field program as well as the girls' volleyball later part of the year. And that kind of wraps up some of the highlights. If there's anything else on the status report that you'd like me to cover, I'm here.
Well, I would just like to highlight the good news about Lila Kaiser Park, since we've got baseball signups going on right now with Little League.
that's very exciting. We've been able to pull up some resources to patch together a decent renovation of that park. And you know, our state program fell through on this park, and so we've been kind of scratching for different, you know, sources of revenues or resources to or funds to get these things put in, the bleachers and the scoreboards and whatnot, and it's come right around. And remember, the money that we didn't get there, we relocated to the Anchor Park project as well as the City Park, and those new park signs are in, and they'll be installed here within a week or two. We also have the picnic tables and benches. They're on their way in. They may even arrive tomorrow, if not early next week. And we'll be staging them at the courtyard until we can move them out in place. So we're excited about the movement on those two park improvements as well.
If
that concludes it, I'd be looking for a motion to accept A4 for file.
Hey, anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay, can I get a motion then to accept A4 for file?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept A4.
I'll second it.
Okay, great. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those not? Seems how there are none. We'll move on to our next topic, which is, there are no unfinished businesses. We've got a lot of items on our new business, so we'll go over to item D1, please. D1 is
at the RPC. It did not get forwarded to City Council. There was additional discussion at the stakeholders meeting, which included the San Luis Coastal School District, the County Parks Department, the City of Morro Bay, the Los Osos Community Pool Foundation, as well as the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation and Pool at Morro Bay Foundation. So there was like three different foundations and three different government organizations that were and at the table discussing this MOU. Basically, we couldn't come to some mutual understandings and agreements to how to divvy up the expenditures that were going to be incurred with the operation and maintenance of this aquatic center. And not having a full commitment from the stakeholders at that time, we all agreed to basically table this agenda item and walk away without executing the agreement. Therefore, it did not go to the City Council, did not go to the School District Board, nor did it go to the County Board of Supervisors. And we agreed to table this until a future date that we could agree upon. Well, a lot has happened since the middle of 2011 until now. Just recently, the Los Osos Pool Foundation has informed staff that they're going to be dissolving, and they want to disperse their funds. And they want to disperse their funds to be consistent with their public benefit mission. And keeping in the spirit of the money was collected for a pool, and through the surveys that were done, and remember there was a very lengthy phone and questionnaire surveys that went out, and it basically identified the need for a pool and identified the need for one pool in Morro Bay, whereas there was talk about having a pool in Los Osos and in various sizes and different dimensions and what kind of amenities would be at that aquatic center. And it boiled down to having one pool in Morro Bay to serve the Estero Bay. At that point, it is believed that the Los Osos Pool Foundation felt like their efforts needed to be curtailed and the focus be on developing a pool in Morro Bay. So as they dissolve, they have revenues that they need to disperse. They can't do that by themselves. I believe they're going to court in mid-February to get a court ruling on how those funds will be distributed. We're hoping that they can be directed to the City of Morro Bay and showing action through this MOU and commitment to having a pool being built in Morro Bay, that those funds would find their way to our efforts in getting a pool. So the new stakeholders, this new MOU is created to bring the stakeholders together to see if we can't continue this this effort in getting a community pool here in Morro Bay. The stakeholders being the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, which is the only surviving foundation so far out of the three that we had mentioned earlier, the San Luis Coastal School District, as well as the City of Morro Bay. I had met with the school district's representative just in the recent past, just to confirm their willingness to get into this agreement and their intent to support a pool as the project progresses. The district representative did confirm their willingness to support this MOU and when it's reviewed by the Board of Education. And we're working with the district to get that on the board's agenda to get them to review and hopefully approve as well. The Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation has always stated their willingness to enter in this MOU. I believe it's consistent with their mission statement. They continue to fundraise to support the Central Coast swimming efforts. And ultimately, their goal is to build a swimming pool here in Morro Bay. So the idea of building and operating a community pool within the Estero Bay has been a concept for many years. Basically, it started once the pool was, demolished, or it was when it was demoed at the high school. So having no pool, the effort to getting a pool was placed on the community. Currently, the stakeholders, the city, the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, and the school district are the ones that are championing this effort. In signing this MOU, the city council, that is, with your recommendation, would have a significant impact in realizing this project and how important it is to the communities here in the Estero Bay. I've included that plans that you've already seen. I did not include those, but I can get those to you if you'd like. We'll be forwarding those concept reviews to City Council with recommendation. And so how we acquire that land is going to be an agreement between, obviously, the district through this MOU. But I believe that it will be some kind of a rezoning or a lot line adjustment, and there may be transfer of deed or something along that lines. And so we'll get into those legalities as we get further along the process. The idea is to have, at minimum, a 25-yard pool, appropriate storage space, appropriate maintenance and safety equipment, men's and women's locker room, an office area for staff, and a public check-in and public parking. So some of those are our basic needs. We are looking for a commitment to provide a portion of the financial support needed to for the O&M for the pool. And this is where it gets kind of how much are they going to put up or be accountable for. The land is going to be a significant donation, so that's going to be a consideration as well. So what we would be doing once this MOU is passed is if we get into the logistics of getting a pool, we're going to need to form a joint powers authority, probably a joint powers agreement, to really detail the financial responsibilities of all the parties. So know that this is the first step of our MOU, and we will be getting into really rolling our sleeves up with the joint powers agreement as we progress. And the city would be the lead agency providing the planning, the permits, and the construction, operations, and maintenance of the pool. Would be responsible for the programming, the staffing, fee collection, and any other regulations that are related to the pool. And there are quite a few out there, as our self-insured program would certainly enlighten me on. And we've been there before. Running a pool is no easy task. We understand that. We have a responsibility, we believe, to the community. There's a need and desire out there, and we're doing our best to make this come to fruition. The foundation has some responsibilities in this MOU to raise monies, to prepare the feasibility and the development study, conduct demographic needs assessment research. So there'll be some, a little bit more work involved to develop the conceptual and space designs that for the proposed pool. And some of that work's already been done, so we can dovetail on some work that's already been shelved. And the foundation will establish an endowment fund. Hopefully, that's an endowment that can grow and gain enough revenues that would help offset our operations and our maintenance costs on a yearly basis. So the revenue stream as far as the fees would be responsibility of the city is operating it, and then the fundraising would come from the foundation. So that is the MOU. I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding this MOU and this process.
Okay. Is now a good time to make corrections to the MOU?
If you'd like to bring those suggestions forward?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. There's a name change going on for the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation. Will now be the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation. And then under Section 3A, where it states that the foundation will need to raise funds to prepare a feasibility and development study, that's already been done. I can't remember which year it was, but that has been done, and it has been established that there is a need in this community, and I believe it was pointed out that Morro Bay was the best town to have it in. So I'm wondering if we need to change that. That would be 3A. Does anyone else have any comments?
I would make a comment on the feasibility and development study in this demographic, that has been done, and that to have it in here, I think, is still significant. If there's any kind of modifications that would happen with this concept or the space designs, it would be the responsibility of the foundation as opposed to pulling it out. If it's done, then we have that in the books. And we know that's how we got to our one pool, our 25-meter pool, and its location one in Morro Bay. I don't necessarily think it needs to be pulled out, whether it's completed or not. But that would be something that I would be happy to work with the foundation on.
Okay, yeah, I think... Further discussion, yeah.
As we bring this to them for their signature, if that organization feels that they need to change this around, we certainly can do that.
Okay, the rest of it looks great to me. Any comments from fellow commissioners? Any concerns? Any support? Support.
All in favor.
Okay. this is, we're talking about this plan of action going to the city council. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a vote then. Sounds like we're ready.
Yeah. We've been here before, this MOU, and your current city council is very much supportive of advisory boards. Not being able to get on their agenda until February the 13th allows us to look at this again and forward the recommendation in a positive way. It seems like it's going to be to City Council. So that's where we're going, and once we get up to City Council on February 13th, what we're targeting for.
Okay, great. Can I get a motion to... to recommend the MOU
to
be taken to the City Council for approval.
I will recommend that the MOU is taken to the City Council for approval.
And I get a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those not? Okay, seeing as how there are none opposed, we'll move on. Next new item of business we have is D2, which is the recommendation of appropriate use of the historical wood from the demolition of the Centennial Staircase.
Good evening, commissioners. D2 is brought to you by the request of the City Council. They have recently heard a project that's going in at Centennial Parkway. It is an improvement to the staircase. At their regular meeting in November the 13th, they had received the concept plans for removal of the staircase and putting in a funicular. And that would be part of the sale agreement for the property at 781 Market Street. So given that contract is still valid, which it is, they're moving forward with the improvements on the staircase. So funicular basically is a track from the beginning, from the top of Market Street down to Centennial, which will hold a tram-like vehicle to allow pedestrians passage or access from the top of the bluff to the midsection, and then all the way down to the bottom, and then back up again. There will be staircases, as I see in the concept plan, on both sides of the funicular. And that project is moving forward through the Planning Commission and through Public Works Planning Division. And seeing how the old wood at Centennial staircase will be demolished and removed from the site, that is a significant surplus of wood that would be available for us to relocate or reuse. And we're hoping we can find a significant use for this wood, because basically it was built out of the old water tanks and put together in the early 70s. And this was a concept plan that was, you know, grassroots from a Cal Poly student and local artist. And the staircase went in, the giant chessboard went in, and it's a significant location for our city, having Centennial Park and having the giant chessboard there. We included a picture of the staircase for you, in case you haven't been there for a while. We did a renovation about 10 years ago, I believe. We added pickets to the side. We added a middle stringer for support. So it's pretty well built, and there's a lot of wood there. It's clear redwood, so to work with this wood is a treat. Basically, get it down and planting it just comes out just really rich and vibrant wood. The possibilities of using this wood, like I said in the report, are endless. I'd like to focus on reusing the wood in some of its natural state now as a staircase. And my suggestion in the report is, for your consideration, would be to rebuild the staircase at Surf Street. Right now, the Vets Hall is at 209 Surf Street, and at the base of, at the end of the street, there's a staircase that goes down to the Embarcadero, actually goes down to Front Street parking lot, which would be the future home somewhere in that vicinity of the Maritime Museum. A lot of pedestrians in town use this staircase on a daily basis, getting up and down from the residential areas to the Embarcadero and down to the beach eventually. This staircase down here has been band-aided, if you will, throughout the years. It needs to be rebuilt. I believe it does. To increase our safety and our access from the bluff top to the Embarcadero. It would be much more attractive staircase and a more safer staircase than there is now. I do put on this report several other uses of the wood. We could use the wood that's there and do some kind of a historic tribute to the wooden staircase at its current site. There'll be a much more modern look in that location with the funicular and the concrete staircases on both sides and the different amenities that go along with that plaza look. There could be a historic little corner, if you will, just to show the past history of that site and the staircase that was there. We could develop some ideas on public art. They're large timbers, and they're clear redwood, so there could be some public art form that could be formed out of the wood. This resource of wood could be used for other infrastructures throughout the city. Piers, other staircases, benches, tables, and so forth. These are just ideas that I try to get your juices flowing there on the commission. I put functional public furniture as an idea. We could auction off all the wood and look for a public benefit and possibly have some revenue enhancements out of that. So those are some of the ideas. As this staircase improvement project progresses, it's imperative that we have a plan for the surplus resources. Don't want to sit there and have it demolished and then, coulda, shoulda, woulda is a bad spot to be in. So the current staircase, it's, like I said, it's a considerable amount of wood. It's got historic significance. And to repurpose, it would be definitely a value to the community. Wherever we put it, we would look for a benefit for the community for years to come, for different generations. So you got a lot of some ideas there I've thrown at you. I gave you a picture of not only the staircase at Centennial, but also the staircase at Surf Street. So you can see where I'm kind of hinting that this would be a really good spot for us to go. And it may not exhaust all of our resources coming off of Centennial. So there might be some spots that we could do multiple projects with this wood. That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Woods. So you're thinking there might even be extra wood after this staircase would be done even.
Possibly. It depends on the design of the Surf Street, I mean, right now it's a straight shot. It doesn't have to be a straight shot. I mean, we've got a big bluff there that we could do a lot of different things with. It's basically an open canvas. And here we have some erosion problems. We have some water that comes down off the street. We've had this undermining of this particular staircase in the past. Some of the wood is just not real thick timbers, so the wood rot is a little more susceptible to the wood rot. So there's, like I said, we put Band-Aids on this staircase, and it would be a good project for us to go after, I think.
Yes. And the reason for getting rid of the initial staircase at Centennial, this beautiful wood, the reason for getting rid of that?
Yeah, the...
My mic's on. Sorry about that.
The intent is to have some kind of a handicap accessible route from Market Street down to Front Street. Whether it's an elevator or a funicular.
And that's optional?
And those two were optional. Those two were reviewed by City Council, and Council had given direction that their intent was to have the funicular project move forward and not the elevator project. Those are the two. Maintaining the existing staircase, I don't believe, was an option. So this is a replacement.
Because it's not handicap accessible?
I believe that was part of the decision.
And that's also an optional choice. It's not that they have to have handicap access at that staircase?
Well, we're looking to have handicaps.
I'm trying to understand the problem with the current staircase. I use it all the time. I don't know who else does, but it's nice.
It's a very unique staircase. I will grant you that. It does need some maintenance, not a terrible amount, but it needs some maintenance. I mean, the stairs are rather long. That's why we put the middle one in there. So they're a little bit bouncy. So there's a little bit of work there, but that's not the reason. When we sold the property, there's an agreement to put in access from the top to the bottom. And so this project came forward by that property owner to do an elevator or a funicular, and his idea was to make a more of a plaza type of a parkway, if you will, right there. And doing this funicular or any kind of elevator in the space that he had, it just wasn't obtainable. He needed to have more space in order to put this particular element in. And so having that, the staircase was like either you keep it or it goes. And the direction was to do either a funicular or an elevator, so the staircase would have to go. So those projects, like I said, didn't go in for review. They went right to City Council. They reviewed those on the 20th. And having a funicular was more unique and more desirable for the council at that time. That's what the direction was. They were there was concern about having the wood just being not being reused or recycled. And so they asked us to review it here and see what we can come up with. I immediately thought of the staircase, but if there's other uses, then I'd be happy to forward those recommendations to council.
Would you just briefly describe what a funicular is for those people that don't know what that is?
Angel flight.
Yeah, it's similar to angel flight down in L.A. It's basically, if you can think of a train track, if you will, from the top to the bottom, and then maybe a cable car that's on top of that, that would traverse the tracks from Market Street down, stop halfway, there'd be a halfway get off, and then all the way down, and then back up. So it's basically a cable car, if you will, or a mini train car on tracks that goes up and down, and it's at a level. It's more perpendicular with the bottom landing, and as the hill is at a slope, the cart it remains level.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think it was my understanding also that the project to remodel the staircase would really help to bridge the gap between the Embarcadero and the upper business side, and so making it more of like an attraction will draw people up away from Embarcadero, and not away, but you know, establish more of a bridge and a connection between the two parts of town. Any other comments? Well, I'm in favor of, it seems like there's a need to replace the Surf Street staircase. Anybody else in agreement with that?
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah, you already have it cut for stairs, so, and it's right there.
Okay.
So we should recommend that they do that.
Okay. Do you need a motion to recommend?
Yeah, if there's a motion from the commission, it would help me out. And if you had, you know, if there's a primary direction to rebuild the staircase at Surf Street and use as much wood as possible and maybe and get a most unique design, maybe duplicate the design if possible, maybe any kind of concentration on that, I would take that recommendation. Or if you want to minimize that and relocate the rest of it, something else.
Yeah, and maybe because you have the wood, I think something that can kind of stand out for that Surf Street is if we use some of that wood to maybe create maybe halfway down, maybe where there's a landing where it continues and that landing has seats made of the wood or something like that. Because if you have a large kind of halfway platform or something, it gets to be, you know, a hangout view corridor if you have the wood anyways.
That's a good suggestion.
To be on a platform like that, that wood is nice.
Yeah, add some benches.
Could I label that as a staircase with a mid-deck?
Yes.
That would be appropriate, yes.
Sounds like it would. Okay.
Okay.
Any other suggestions that we could bring with this? If that's our primary, I'm okay with that.
Okay, can I get a motion to reuse the wood from Centennial Staircase to rebuild the staircase on Surf Street?
I make a motion we do that.
We do.
I second that. I'll pull you right out of there.
No one's listening. I just gave you a beautiful statement.
You know,
you have all the cue cards.
Okay, I guess that jives. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? None. Okay. So another section of D1 includes the rest of the review, and that's the review of the concept plan for improvements to Centennial Staircase. Mr. Woods, would you like to report on that?
The D1? Now that was part of it. Well, it was showing the concept plans.
Okay. So there's nothing needed as a recommendation for that?
This D1 is not your packet's D1?
I think you're on to Shasta and Dunes.
Yeah.
Oh.
This D1 is, those are minutes from
last month?
No, they're from city councils. That was from city council meeting.
Well, I have reviewed concept plan for improvements for Centennial Staircase.
November the 6th, 2012.
Okay, anyways.
That was the background information regarding this, how we got here.
Oh, that was background. Okay, then we are ready to move to D2, which is?
I'm on D3.
D3. Review and discuss development of the empty lot at Shasta and Dune Streets. Please, Mr. Woods.
Good evening, Commission. Again, D3 is discussion of, there's an empty lot right on the corner of Shasta and Dunes. It was made empty by demolishing three units. Two residential units. They were 983 and 985 Shasta Street. The city acquired those properties in the quest of getting more land for a civic center. Basically, the block between Harbor Street and Dune Street along Shasta. We purchased the houses that were on a lot that Public Services is on now. And then we purchased the next lot over and then one on Shasta Street, 552 Shasta Street. That house is a residential that we rent out right now. The units on the corner became dilapidated. We could not keep up with the maintenance. Those buildings were old, and we had a lot of major problems that needed to be addressed. We went to City Council with a laundry list of things that we needed to address and the revenues required to do that, and with an option of either fixing them or demolishing them. They chose to demolish those particular sites, and so we did that. And their direction was to make that an empty lot, and I have the minutes from their City Council meeting October the 11th, 2011. And basically, the motion was to bring these whole pages. It was to make the lot empty with and ready for a community pocket garden or community garden, a pocket park, and to provide water at that site. And we have done that. Staff, we orchestrated the demolition of those buildings. We had various training sessions from police, which was very unique, and extensive training for the fire department. So anytime we have an opportunity to let those two agencies come in and do some training in an empty building, knock holes in it, do rescues, dog searches, and so forth, we do, and that happened. And so that was early in 2011, and when we, or 2012, and when we finished up that, we cleared the site, put some bark mulch in and water spigot, and we're ready to go. Now, staff has been approached by two groups, the 4-H group and the Morbay Gardening group. They are interested in developing a pocket park or community garden. And those details have yet to be hammered out, but we wanted to float a concept by the commission this evening. This is an initial concept that staff came up with. It is no way set in stone, but it is certainly a spot to start with. The idea was to line the perimeter of the new fencing with some fruit trees. In the corner, you'll see a lemon tree in the far corner. And then there's a circle that has water, and that's where our water spigot is now, our water supply. And then just below that, you'll see three apple trees, and along the top section, three other types of fruit trees, and those have been basically undetermined. And we could change the type of fruit trees, but the idea was to have fruit trees along the perimeter, having planters throughout the middle of the lot, and those would be flowers, and those would be flowers that would be cut flowers. The Morro Bay Garden Club and the 4-H Club would be in a position, hopefully, to take on the maintenance of the trees and also the flower planters. The avocado tree that is there now remains. It just was pruned up a couple years ago, and it's really in good condition. You'll see on the very top section off of the sidewalk and also off the bottom sidewalk, we have a picnic table. The idea was to just put a wooden border and some decomposed granite, to fill that and compact it, and then put on top of those two pads a picnic table. And what we would do is relocate the picnic tables that are being replaced at City Park, some of them that are in fairly good condition. The best ones we have, clean them up a bit and get them over to this particular site. And then we'd also put one in the middle, either on or not on a DG pad, depending on our resources. Excuse me. So the idea is to have fruit trees along the perimeter, so picnic tables for the community to come in, sit and congregate and talk and meet people, and then three planters, if you will, or four or one. It really doesn't matter. The idea is to have some planters in here to bring some color and some life. And then there was also the idea of putting up an arbor on the very corner where we could designate maybe a formal entrance to this particular pocket park or community garden, whichever we want to call it. Really the name is up in the air. I would be willing to take suggestions this evening. And I've run this idea by a couple of board members from the Morro Bay Garden Club. They were very receptive of this concept plan, and so were various members of the tree committee. So it still has life. I'd be willing to turn this over to the commission for any suggestions, additions, amendments, or recommendations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Woods. So as far as seating goes, it looks like there's three places, and that would be the three picnic tables. Or unless the planter boxes, are those going to be, you know, where you could sit down on, say, a bench, like a bench style of planter, say, around the perimeter?
If that's a suggestion you're throwing out there to put in a bench type of a perimeter, that would be something we can incorporate.
Okay, that would be my recommendation.
It's something I don't have now, so it would be either a donation or some kind of either a donation of the bench itself or
well, you're going to build a planter out of...
Yeah, that's...
Wood?
Right.
Right, that's
well,
what I was thinking.
The garden clubs are going to take care of that. I think all we're going to do is say it's a good idea.
Right, so she's just saying...
Well, as far as incorporating a bench, though, into the design of the planter, you know how you... can do that pretty easily.
Yeah, just in about 12
years. There's, I mean, it isn't that we don't have any resources. We haven't allocated any now. But if you're bringing suggestions that say we need some resources to put in here, we can certainly do that. There may be surplus materials that we have from other projects that we could probably relocate.
Oh, from the stairway we just...
that's definitely a possibility. I mean, I think we should... This is an opportunity to do something unique. It's a downtown area. It's a hub of a lot of commerce. It'd be a chance for us to do something. special.
Joe, I really agree that it's a unique little part or little spot. It's a little small in terms of thinking of some grand scheme. So I guess an option is you go in with this, you know, the garden and the plants, and another option would be something which you mentioned about having it be where there's some art or some kind of statues where it ties into that whole overall theme of the linear parks, like what we have at Tidelands, what we've been talking about Morro Bay Rocks, that there's it. That's just another suggestion of a way to go.
Well, I think on this one, maybe let the community people.
I agree.
Let them see what they come up with, and then we can always later, you know, for safety or aesthetic or usefulness, you know, make suggestions later. But yeah. I'd suggest we just let the community people come up with a plan and see, and let it be the community part.
Well, and it already has the garden going, you know, so it's a garden park, really.
Right.
That's the theme already. There's
right. We have these wonderful volunteers and these wonderful organizations that they've been helping a lot with you know, you see them alongside the highway just volunteering, fixing up patches that look bad. I'd say let them have it, see what they do with it. You know? And then down the line, we can always make suggestions if we don't think that it's, you know, the best interest of the community what they did. But I'm sure they'll come up with something great.
Yeah.
It's their hobby. It's what they like to do. So I say we really let them do it. I say we don't give them a lot of directions. See what they do with it. I'm sure it'll be very unique and wonderful.
Okay, thank you, Drew. And I say the more interactive, the better. So the more benches or sitting areas you have, the better.
I agree with Karen. If you're going to have a planter, you may as well have at least 6, 8, 12, 10 inches, something to sit on. And I think that's ideas that people can go and sit, as opposed to having really nice plants and there's nowhere to sit. I think we feel like being able to sit and interact is more important than kind of walking.
And just
it's just not big enough. There's nowhere to walk.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. So it's like the park, you know, we want it to be something a little bit more than something you just walk by and look at, right? You want to be able to use it.
Linger.
You want to be able to linger.
Joe, I had just visualizing the lot. Now, I know you look at the lot a lot. Does it get much sun exposure? That was my only thinking.
That's
is
a good question.
I mean, it's kind of blocked on the south and on the west.
It does.
So
it's going to be limited. Not a whole. Once the sun, you know, once we get past, you know, midday, there's not going to be much of a afternoon to evening
so
sun.
So, you know, a concern or something is, and I agree that I'm sure they've done a great job on the parks, but again, because of the sun that it gets there, that, you know, it looks vibrant. Not that we plant things and then realize, okay, well, the fruit trees aren't going to work. Let's try an olive tree. I think that the design and the sitting and the interaction might be the primary, and then what we plant and everything kind of goes from there, as opposed to trying to fit people in around the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially with all the nearby city employees that work there, you know, they're
great.
Probably
going
to be using it for lunch breaks.
And what would they like? What do they say about a spot that they can sit and go have lunch?
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
That's good. Get their
feedback. Because it is right in the middle of the.
I have pulled a few folks over there at City Hall and Public Services, and they're very excited about having a spot like this just to get out of the office and cruise over and sit down and be a little bit more in touch with nature, with some plants and some trees, and being able to socialize a little bit more on the outside as opposed to in the office.
And just thinking in terms of another concept, so there's sort of the garden and the trees, and then there's potentially, you know, sort of the art and the feeling like that, and then maybe another concept is something where there's a center water feature, and then everything. And again, I'm just trying to throw things out that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a fountain, and you know, and two, to incorporate future plans if the pool goes in across the street. I mean, there's another thing to think about, which would be great because when you're not swimming, you're not supposed to eat inside the pool area, so you're going to have to go outside of the pool area to go and eat and snack, and again, that would be another great use for that park.
So I think maybe Joe, there's a recommendation that the functionality be a high consideration in the design.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that about wraps it up.
I would just add that these types of things, such as art and water features and integrated benches, these are things that I think could come in kind of a design from local artists. There's a lot of folks out here that come out of, I don't know where they come from, but they also, they're out there doing our trash cans. We've got art trash cans. We've got this beautiful art grandmother's living room as a bus shelter. I mean, there's a lot of talent in our town that if the invitation was given, I think we would have some folks come out and want to help design some, I don't mean very ornate, but something that's simple and unique and that blends in and has that community tie-in that we're looking for. So I think that these ideas are strong ideas, starting with the function, and then maybe the plants are secondary. I understood that as far as your direction. And then art concepts and the possibility of having some kind of a water feature in the middle, some more of a draw.
Joe, I just threw that out as an option.
I think it's a great option.
I don't know how practical it is, but sometimes a water feature in a smaller space can really just make the whole thing kind of, you know, a little more special, unique. Let's go hang out by the, you know.
I think it's a huge attraction, and we
and
have
it's a decent location.
We have one water feature now.
Dirt there and sand and.
Mm-hmm. So the one water feature you do have now, but the boulevard. It's tough to enjoy because everyone's driving by.
Yeah.
And this would be something that could be created and people could stop and enjoy it.
Just to get off track, but I mean, even something where you'd have, you know, multiple cascading half wine barrels. I mean, there could be something really ties into where we are. But it all sounds good.
Okay.
Well, there any others? And I do have a garden park as a name.
Motion?
Is there any recommendations for a title of this area?
The title. I would go with the garden theme myself.
Commissioner's Park.
City Park. Oh, City Workers Park. I don't know.
I think you have to get a little closer to the concept that you're building. Okay. You call it what you will until then. But
okay, so it's an open name. Because we do have a park naming policy, and there's some guidelines, and this doesn't really fit in any of our guidelines. So just be thinking about that as this progresses, and if there's some commissioner that wants to follow this to city council, that would be maybe part of the motion as well.
Okay. And which city council meeting are we talking about? This next upcoming one, or when will it be scheduled?
I haven't been informed of when we'd be agendized for this and when it would be going forward. Whether it needs to go to another advisory board or not, I'm not sure. But I was asked to bring it here tonight and forward recommendations. The earliest it would be the 13th of February, but it might be latter part of February, maybe even to March. Not too sure.
Okay, so are there any commissioners that know they're available on those dates that would like to accompany this recommendation and to see it through?
What date for that? Sorry.
It was February 13th or the following week.
It's going
right?
to be the 2nd or the 4th Tuesday
of February.
February, and the 12th being a holiday, they're going to be meeting on the 13th. That's Lincoln's birthday, the 12th, and it is an observed holiday here for the city.
Okay. Drew, you want to do it, don't
sure,
you?
Sure.
Thank you, Drew. Okay, can I get a motion to recommend improvements for this corner lot on Shasta and Dune Street? Does that suffice for a motion?
Are you looking to work off of this concept plan and add some of the things that we've talked about?
Yes.
Okay. I understood that.
Okay. Can I get a motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion. We send this our idea to City Council for their suggestions and approval.
Okay, can I get a second?
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, none. Okay, we're a little pressed for time, so I'm going to ask to make a motion to accept D4 for file so we can get to our item B1, which is going to demand for a significant amount of time. Can I get a motion to accept D4 for file, please?
I'll make a motion that we accept D4 for file.
And a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, none. Okay, item B1 is a review and discussion of the work program for fiscal year 2013 and 2014. And hopefully everyone has had some time to review it, but Mr. Woods is sure is going to do a great job of summarizing what this work program entails.
Thank you, Chair Crowley. Good evening again, Commissioners. The work program is a document that we try to put together as a comprehensive list of programs and services provided by the Recreation and Parks Department. There's a few things that we've left out here. You won't see streets on here. You won't see street trees. You won't see storm drains. But we can certainly incorporate that in our next year's attempt. But I think we've got our plate full with the with our current divisions that we have represented, which is the administration division, the commissioners, sports, youth services, and parks and facilities. Basically, we have done this particular work program on an annual basis. It has been off calendar for quite some time due to some staffing changes of responsibility and some oversight and so forth. It's pretty much been on the back burner. And we've done some things in the past. It isn't like we haven't done anything since 2004. We've been very busy providing programs and services and completing projects, as you've seen with your program status report. But this particular item, we're hoping to get back on track, do it on an annual basis. And it's a precursor for us to set some priorities and some objectives as we go into the budget cycle with City Council. So knowing that we review these at staff level and we're reviewing them at commissioners level, and hopefully in the programs to come, that we'll have a larger type of workshops. But staff's intent at this particular juncture is to get this back on track and get it in front of you and let you understand how we operate and what the scope of work in which we operate. I will draw your attention to the very end of this report, and it is Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commissioners prioritizing the work program. It's basically the capital improvement projects. And this particular page summarizes all the capital improvement projects, and it asks you to give me a priority, either H for high, M for medium, or L for low. So as we go through, as you're saying that, you know, the first item here is to update the recreation and access element, which is now dated as 76. Is that a high priority for staff to do? Is it a medium or is it a low priority? So you'll see as I go through the different divisions, they are summarized here at the back, and which will be interactive. So as we go through the admin section, you'll see that there are four capital projects that have come to the back part for prioritization. So back up to page 3, if I can bring you back up to the document itself, and going through the administrative division and outlining the services and programs that we provide. It's quite lengthy. There's 29 items here. Hopefully we've been fairly exhaustive. There'll probably be a few things that we've missed. If there is, please bring them to my attention. We implement and manage the department registration system, our website. We do an annual evaluation of all of our services with contract instructors, and right now we're getting back on schedule with that. We've had some transition with our contract instructors and making them part-time employees, and so we're doing the evaluations a little bit differently. We schedule the clerical and the building attendance to cover the community center, and where the community center is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 8 and on Fridays from 8 until 5. And sometimes when there's no programs going on, it's still open, and that access is the downstairs lobby and the restrooms. We maintain our city webpage to reflect all of our services because we no longer provide the Tides book, so everything's online. We purchase replacement of computers. We are the ones who develop and disseminate all the agenda materials for City Council reports, Recreation Parks Commission, and other ad hoc committees as we see fit. We handle all citizens' reports. We go to and sit in on subdivision reviews. As that board meets, it's kind of sporadic, and whenever I'm called, I will attend those meetings as subdivision projects come to the Planning Commission. And that is the point where we are determining if there's parkland dedication in that subdivision or if there would be a park and loop fee that would be required. We manage and distribute the scholarships for the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which is significant. It's upwards to $20,000 worth of scholarships a year. There's quite a few families and applications that we do review. And we also serve as and as a liaison to the Senior Citizens Incorporated Board of Directors. Right now, we've dedicated Heather Salyer-Frith to be our liaison. We do meet with the school district on a quarterly basis, and I go there generally with Karen Sweeney from sports. I'm an advisor, the director's advisor to the foundation. We handle other areas like first aid and team building. We do develop and publish various marketing documents, brochures, flyers, newsletters, and so forth. We're instrumental in helping out the city manager with the In the Loop publication. We do various news presses, news releases through our website. We do some in-house training. We coordinate the Adopt a Park program, which has taken off from one park to about, I think we have six or seven now. And so we're hoping to enhance that program in the year to come. We do not have an annual appreciation dinner. I wanted to show that we used to, but we still are operating with some budget cuts that are lingering from 03, 04, and 05. We do training, we do the spaghetti dinner, and we coordinate that with this commission as well as the foundation and the Senior Citizens Incorporated. We handle all the recreational classes. We are currently updating our standard operating procedures. We had talked about the implementation of a fiscal sustainability program. We are still working on implementing those elements of the program. And there's a lot of supporting documents that we're working on right now. And you'll see those at the capital projects end of this particular report. There are four that we're looking to work on. One is to update the recreation access element, which is dated 1976. There is a cost associated with that. Right now it's estimated at, pardon me, $50,000, but I'm sure staff can review the details of those particular costs and see if we can't come up with a more accurate number. We have to master plan the Coleman Park, Target Rock, and Morro Rock areas. That's the Northern Embarcadero Implementation Plan. We have some costs associated. We don't have all the costs in this particular program. But it's something that it's been talked about in as far as outsourcing the entire project, as far as design, or keeping portions of it in-house, and staff is still working on concluding that particular direction. We're looking to update our facility master plan, and that's an outdated document of 85 to 90. And these particular plans, the recreation element as well as the master plan, are parts of our fiscal sustainability program. So there's different elements that go into the program and certain documents that help support the direction in which we go. And we also are looking to do a QR code program to implement on interpretive panels and different signs throughout the throughout our parks. And the QR codes are basically codes that are read through a smart smartphone, which gives you direct access to a website. So if you want to flip to the back of your page, back of your report, and look at those four elements, and if you feel that one of those is a high priority or medium or low priority, you can just circle those. And we'll be asking to collect these at the end of the meeting. Or if you need some more time, you can bring those in to our office tomorrow or early next week.
I'm not familiar with the, what is access element? What is that?
The recreation element is basically the recreational services as they're provided throughout the city. So, like, staircases to the Embarcadero would be part of that access element. Bike paths would be another one. Walking paths, harbor walk extensions, those type of things are all part of our recreational and access element. Do we have enough, you know, there's tennis courts that would be part of, you know, that, which were identified in previous studies.
Okay, thank you.
So you can take your time on that. I will move forward. If I'm getting too lengthy, just give me a nod, and I will skip a few things, but I'll try to highlight some big ones. The commissioners, we've talked about you having a liaison to the senior board, as well as to the Morro Bay Community Foundation. There is a possibility of attending the training workshops and annual awards dinner at CPRS. We talked about those dates that are in March. We provide you information and membership for the CPRS and information as it comes available to us through NRPA. We do conduct an annual parks tour. That's usually in July. And we probably should talk about some details in our March or even our May meeting. Our slow capra, we talked about our annual workshop, and that's going to be on March the 16th at the Lake Pavilion. And staff feels that it's very important that commissioners try to attend this workshop. It's only given once a year, and it's definitely to the benefit and the direction to help benefit commissioners, whether they're new or if they're a veteran. Help us work on this work program, and that's an annual task to develop these activities and objectives. And if you find that there's more, something on here that you want to add, now's the time to put it in. And provide commissioners to go to city council meetings when something appears. And we did that earlier tonight with the community park. Thanks, Drew. So on the back, I don't think we have any capital projects for commissioners, so I will move right into the next division, which is sports. There's some things that you know that we do. Adult softball league, spring and fall. Youth sports leagues, basketball, t-ball, coach pitch, soccer, futsal, and girls softball. Backing up one, we do only two tournaments. In the previous years, we did three or four. Our softball tournaments are in June, which is the Girls Coast Summertime Slam, and then in September, which is our Labor Day tournament. We do have various other tournaments that happen out at Lila Kaiser where we manage the field and allow other tournament directors to come in and provide the tournament play, if you will, bringing teams in from other parts of the county and out of the area. We conduct the Rock to Pier Run, and last year we added the half marathon. We're looking to do that again this coming year. We offer the junior lifeguard program and pool program, and we also have scholarships for that program, and we just received some money specifically for scholarships for junior lifeguard program, which is terrific news for those who are unable to financially participate. Provide the Recreational Sports Authority to review league nights of play. That's all through the sports division, as well as a youth sports board to review youth sports programs. And the girls softball board. That's a very active board now, and the girls softball is a very dynamic sport that has been gaining momentum throughout the recent years. Number 10 is a new one. That's a youth beach camp. We provide that during the summer. We did one at three last year, and we did one in spring, and We did one in spring, and I think we did three in the summer, which is before, in the middle, and after the junior lifeguard program. And that's been very well received by the public. And these particular programs, if we implement a new program such as Beach Camp, we are setting it at 100% cost recovery, and we've been successful at meeting that goal. There are co-ed soccer leagues. Like we said, we're starting up next Monday. We have a standalone but linked by a quick link is our league lineup. And league lineup is really gives details as far as what teams are playing, what the standings are, when the practices are, and so forth. A lot of details as far as the sports activities, youth and adult. And we have some QR codes, or actually these are Microsoft tags, that are on a sign out at Lila Kaiser Field that you can go in. If you're out there and nothing's going on, you can click on this sign and it'll go right to the league lineup, and it'll tell you where practice is or if it's been canceled or not. So we're trying to be a little bit more directly linked with the parents to help communicate information such as practice cancellations. The track meet you see on number 13 is was a concept that was started back in 2000. So some of these have been ongoing. Some of them are on a wish list. Some may never happen. Some will finally get some legs and actually happen. We think the track and field has potential. We're getting into the junior, the middle school with their track and field program. And I think that may springboard us into some kind of a local track meet, which would be pretty cool. And there's always been talk about a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, but we really haven't been able to get enough momentum to make that happen. But that certainly could be something that we would put some effort into. We are looking to systematically replace some of our old soccer gear and futsal equipment, and we'd be looking to put... This is a new request of $2,000 a year into our revolving account, so we can accumulate some money to replace some of our equipment. We talked about the middle school program as well as the track and field. We no longer do conduct adult basketball. That was cut in 03 and 04, as well as the drop-in open gym. We've had some recent inquiries from the public about, you know, interest in having drop-in basketball or adult basketball, and those programs just didn't sustain themselves financially with the cost of the gym and staff to run them, even through a volunteer system, which isn't as reliable as we would like it to be. This usually starts off with good intent. So... we've looked at it. We look at it every year, and we still feel that it's not a viable program to reenact at this time. And then we're looking to replace some of our equipment, our training and safety equipment for the junior lifeguard program. So some of the capital projects for sports, you'll notice that we have some that are being completed, which is the tennis courts at Del Mar Park. We're very excited to have soft courts at Del Mar and the hard courts over at Monty Young. So some things on here do get completed. And as we talked about earlier, the feasibility study has been completed for the pool, and now we're going into the design phases and hopefully build and operate. The scoreboards at Kaiser have been purchased, and they're on their way. The bleachers as well. Part of our park improvements at City Park is to resurface the basketball court and replace the standards in the backboards and rims. And we're very excited about having that project being done. We're right now getting competitive bids from local contractors, and hopefully we'll be able to finalize the scope of that project and get that underway. And we're also looking to run up some numbers and estimate the project for resurfacing and painting the hard courts at Del Mar, which would include the basketball court and the roller hockey rink, which need a little bit of attention. So some of those you might think that's not a priority, or that is a high priority. Something like on the back side, we have your priority list. You'll see the scoreboard for Kaiser, knowing that that's coming. could be a low priority for us to focus on because it's already been done. Something that really needs to get done, such as maybe Del Mar, you feel that's a little bit higher, you can go higher, or if it's a medium priority for you, it would be a low priority. We actually have a look at those capital projects and circle your priorities so we have some feedback. Any questions on any of the sports programs or services? Ones I covered, ones I didn't cover, ones you'd like us to implement? Now is a good time to bring those forward. And please feel free to stop me at any time during my running through the list, and as we tend to have more of a workshop atmosphere with this work program. So if you want to stop me and ask me questions, or you want to add something to a particular program or service, I'm certainly amenable.
Did you have any maintenance costs for the tennis courts on here?
We don't have any maintenance costs on the tennis courts. Right now, we're absorbing any costs with in-house labor. It's been fairly minimal for us. There's been several volunteers that have been out there. We provided the drag for the court to be dragged and the sand to be redistributed throughout the court. So we haven't had any complaints. There have been a couple suggestions. I think we had to tighten the net up once. So in a being a fairly new facility, we've been fortunate, but we need to be a little bit cautious and looking to see it probably will have an increase of some maintenance, definitely an annual or a semi-annual review of going through there, putting in some more sand, doing a major redistributing, having a look at some of the, you know, the wear and tear on the nets and so forth.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, just trying to maintain our brand new courts. So, yeah. Okay.
I didn't see the ramp down at the beach from the rocks. Is that part of that other master plan?
That's part of the Northern Embarcadero implementation plan, and that's something that we've been given direction to go ahead with, mm-hmm. provided we find the revenue, the resources, the funding. And so far, right now, my coffee can's empty. So I'm looking for some funds. There was a potential of funding that particular project through recreational trails grant through the state, and that required a CEQA to be done, and the requirements to get that CEQA completed and distributed and floated for a certain period of time. I think it's like 30 or 45 days. It gets floated, it comes back, there's comments. That put us right like a day before it was due. And for the time restraints and staff feel we needed to pull out of that particular cycle, we have not given up on finding other funding sources. And if it was to come around another 11 months, we would certainly be prepared and starting the CEQA process now and getting it set for any other grant funds. So that's not part of this, but it's part of the admin capital projects. Anything else? I'll move on to youth services. This is before and after school enrichment program. You'll see the cost recoveries. You see that it's the annual program. There are several programs we participate in as far as Month of the Child. We do skate park events. We do Monster Skate. We're part of that series. We also do the holiday tree lighting if it's not raining. And last December it was rained out again. I didn't mean to not mention summer camp. So before and after school enrichment programs, those are throughout the school year, and then we had the summer day camp program. That's for children ages in grades K through 6. We do operate the teen center and special programs during school breaks. So if there's winter break or spring break, we usually have something going on at the teen center. Offering teen trips is something that's kind of waned the last year and a half, but I'm hoping to give it some more life, hopefully either through donations or some kind of a grant experience that we can get our teens opportunities not only to participate in some local activities, but possibly some further adventures into the wilderness would be my hope. We operate the skate park, and right now we operate the skate park as a an open park. It is a monitor, not supervised, and participants are required to wear helmets, knee pads, and elbow pads. That's per our municipal code. So you probably read something in the paper about Grover Beach and their skate park being turned over and having the YMCA running their program. It's something that we're not experiencing here because we've got it right next to our teen center, and it basically is monitored by staff that are staffing the teen center. So we're basically getting a two-for-one on our staffing, which allows us to run that skate park. And that, through our youth services, they do manage the Teen Action Club. And you notice the name change. Everyone's familiar with the Teen Advisory Committee, but it's the Teen Action Club. Gives a little bit more of a youthful look and sound, I believe. And then we provide job training for high school students through the Kids Camp CIT program. So a lot of kids in the community grow up through our program and then eventually can come back and work at our program at first jobs. So we take a lot of pride in allowing and giving the opportunity for kids in our community to have their first job with us and learning the responsibilities of being employed and contributing to the community. Some of the capital projects, one you'll see is the Teen Center, Rockies Master Plan. We did target that at $2.3 million. We did apply for some grant funds, Proposition 84. We were unable to obtain those funds. We're still out there kind of fishing, but there's not a whole lot of action as far as this type of money coming. We may be looking to implement some phases on this particular project and offering up the pole barn in lieu of grading and a concrete pad in the back to move our skate park from the parking lot to the rear of the facility as is designated on the master plan. But that phasing project has not been detailed out. It's something that we may be working on in the future, and we'll be bringing that to you for recommendations. Renovate the existing park, that has happened. That was completed. So right now what you're seeing is a rehab skate park. It's been relocated from Coleman Beach, Coleman Park to Rockies. And we're sorry for the duplication of C, but that is a master, Teen Center master plan that shouldn't be on there. And as far as on the back side, your last page on your priorities, you've got three for them. Actually, you have two. The Teen Center Master Plan, I don't know how I got that on there twice. My apologies. You've got a couple, actually just one, because the renovation of the existing park has been done. And so you have the Teen Center Master Plan, which is Rockies, our permanent skate park, classroom, ample court with basketball, and that whole master plan is still out there, and we'd love to get some action on that. So if you're telling me it's a high priority, we will focus our energy on that next year. Any questions or comments or amendments or additions to the youth services section of this work program? Seeing none, shall I continue, Chair?
Yes, please do.
The next section is a division of facilities. And you know that our department's in charge of all public facilities, excluding the wastewater treatment plant and various outbuildings for them. But for the most part, any of the city-owned facilities, police department, fire station. We are at the new fire station now doing two nights a week service as far as janitorial. We are taking over the equipment and mechanical operations of that particular facility, which is no small feat. It's a lot of mechanical space and a lot of equipment in that particular facility. We are providing city workers with safe and accessible work environments, so we do impact every city worker's work environment. I don't say every, most city workers. And we provide the safety training for our in-house maintenance staff. We do provide adequate service, 7-day service for the community center and the Veterans Memorial Building and waterfront restrooms. So that would include janitorial as well as repair and maintenance. Adequate staffing for weekly service, and this is janitorial for City Hall, Public Services, Harbor Police, Corp Yard, Fire Department, and also the Teen Center. It's janitorial, paper goods, all your chemicals, those are in our work program. We provide the service for reserving facilities, whether it's a special event, or it's a public meeting, or it's a staff meeting, which is in-house, or a large, like I said, outside rental. And that would be scheduling, collecting the fees, and so forth. We do annual renovation of the community center and also the vets hall. We're in charge and take care of the public trash receptacles and flagpoles and buying new flags. It's usually about $3,000 or $4,000 a year we spend on flag replacement. And I always like to bring attention to the new flagpole. It's not so new now, but I like to call it new. It's Centennial Parkway at the top of the staircase there. It's a nice pole with a yard arm with very nautical as you come down the boulevard. It's one that staff definitely enjoys and is proud of that we put in. Advertising for public facilities, maintenance repair, as we talked about, exterior lighting on all your buildings, your parks, your parking lots, and your entranceways and the waterfront sites. This is significant in the fact that we had a huge change in our lighting systems on the outside. Almost all of our lights have been changed to LED fixtures. We're hoping to reduce our usage of electricity, therefore dropping our cost for energy, as well as reducing our need for repair and maintenance. So we're hoping that's a triple win, and in turn, the community benefits as a whole. We do annual service on elevators and fixed fire suppression systems, alarm systems, as well as backflow devices throughout all of our city facilities. Some capital projects that we're looking to do is to replace the public restrooms at Del Mar Park, Coleman Park, and Monte Young restrooms. These three have been they're rather aged, dilapidated, and they are difficult to maintain, but we will continue maintaining them the best we can until we can get some funds to replace them. We are doing some remodeling at City Hall in their restrooms and also their HVAC unit. The public restrooms there, we put some new type of flooring in. We've made them a little bit more accessible and some better lighting in there as well. We re-roofed last year 714 Embarcadero, which is a small red building along the Embarcadero in that parking lot. Down below is a maintenance shed, and above is a rental. And we painted the exterior of the community center, and we also did some replacement of the HVAC units. And we also painted City Hall, the outside of City Hall, as well as public services. Any other capital projects that you'd like me to put on this list? Any services that I've missed? If not, if you've got a preference of a high, medium, or low priority in those particular projects, feel free to circle those on your last page. If you are overwhelmed, go ahead, please.
I have a question. Who owns this building, the Veterans Hall? Is it owned by the city?
Yes.
It is owned by the city.
Owned
and operated by the city. So the Veterans Hall leases it from the city?
Any veterans group that want to use this facility, they would fill out a facility use application and they would get it at no charge.
Okay, thank you.
Provided their particular function was veterans related.
Thank you.
Joe, mm-hmm. I have one comment. It seems to me on Morro Bay Boulevard and north and south of Morro Bay Boulevard that there are not a lot of trash receptacles. Doesn't seem to be any pattern to it. I took a walk down there, and there seems to be a couple corners that there are none.
And then sometimes, you know, there's one. I think we may need to look at that and maybe add a few.
You say on the boulevard?
Yeah, Morro Bay Boulevard.
We can certainly have a look at that. Right now, obviously, those receptacles are on the Morro Bay Garbage Service contract.
Oh, okay, I was wondering.
And there's a cost associated with each one of those, depending on the frequency in which it's serviced. Right now, there's some changes going on because of the big bellies that we put down at the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And they replaced, I think we gained like 5 or 6 units to service. And there's a certain amount of, I think there's 15 units we get at no cost, and the
okay.
other ones are at a cost. And so out of those 15, they'll be relocated. So there's some manipulating, and we certainly will have a look at the inventory along the boulevard, see if we can't increase those and still keep our monthly cost down.
Great. Thank you.
That was just a factor that goes into that. Anything else on facilities? If not, I will move on to our last particular division, which is parks. And the first one is we're replacing our park signs with a new logo sign. You saw that at your last meeting. Those two signs have come in. And like I said earlier, we're going to hopefully be putting those in the parks in the next week and a half. There is annual maintenance that we provide. There's training for our parks crew. We also provide repair and maintenance services for all of our parks and our park systems. There'll be irrigation and other various systems throughout our parks. We'd like to initiate a capital improvement fund for parks, which would supplement our park in lieu fund. And that's the fund that generates through subdivisions. And we would be looking to drop in anywhere up to $3,000 to help that fund stay active. When there isn't a lot of subdivisions, at least our park and lieu fund would be supplemented. We could do some deferred maintenance for future projects. We respond to all graffiti and vandalism within 24 hours. We supervise both the assessment districts, North Point and the Cloisters. We're city support for special events such as the Harbor Festival and the 4th of July. Right now, the Bird Festival is happening up at the community center, and there'll be some programs here and all through town. There'll be field trips, and that's my staff. I probably had 3 or 4 guys working the better part of the day on helping them getting situated and set up for their large winter bird festival, which I think is in their 17th year. So very successful program and event, and we're happy to be part of that. And we also maintain the entrance signs as you come into town. And it says, welcome to Morro Bay, and there's a little event that's happening. Those are the signs that we help coordinate and put up. Some of the capital projects that are going on is to overlay the asphalt services at Lila Kaiser Park, Del Mar Park, Bay Shore, Tidelands, and also both assessment districts. So we've got some asphalt that's deteriorating, not only as we saw in the street summit, but also in some of our public parking lots as well. We're replacing the price of picnic tables at Kaiser and at Del Mar. Those have not been identified as an immediate need, nor is there a cost associated with them. It's going to depend on what we pick up. And we are currently replacing the picnic tables at Anchor and City Park. It could be a low priority or a non-existent priority for you. Replace the play structures at Tidelands Park, City Park, Coleman, and the Cloisters. These are, some folks would think that those are brand new. We just put them in. The age creeps up on you, and things get worn out, and replacement needs to happen. And we're identifying some of these parks. And to replace something like a Tidelands Park isn't as easy as one would think. It's an imaginative type of a play area now, and we would want to perpetuate that integrity in any kind of renovation or replacement that we put in. So we've tasked a couple of sales folks marketers, designers, if you will, of playground equipment to come up with some designs for us. And before anything would happen, it would come to you for review and public review, and we would have some public hearings on what we want to put in, so we have everybody's best interest in mind. But we certainly don't want to change the intent of some of the parks. Like we wouldn't put in slides and swings when right now we have a ship that's an imaginative play structure. So we're going to kind of keep the theme as we go along. There is some intent to do elimination of non-functionary turf. And that I mean by the turf out in front of the vets hall really has no function other than aesthetics. And right now it takes water, it takes maintenance, and it's costly as opposed to a different kind of landscaping, which we would benefit from. And we have some of that turf area at Anchor, we have some of it at Centennial, and some of it at the Cloisters. Though some of the turf area at the Cloisters is functional, the big open space, but there's some little small sections that are next to the play area that might be able to be eliminated and either replanted or reconditioned for another purpose. And we're also looking to do some work at Kaiser, a little bit more work out there. It is our flagship park. It is a lot of visitors out there, a lot of softball and baseball tournaments. It is a huge revenue stream for this city as far as indirect economic impact with hotels and restaurants and other auxiliary services. So we want to do some work at the score booths and the concession stand as far as doors and door jam replacements. That concludes the park section. Any questions, additions, amendments that you'd like to bring forward?
I just had one question. Whenever there is any vandalism or graffiti, it is reported to the police department, right?
Sometimes, and mostly not. Mostly the graffiti is reported directly to our office. And currently, folks are using the Let Us Know module on our website.
Uh-huh.
And so we will get that request as soon as they punch send. And so as soon as we get that, it's immediately turned into a work order and sent out to the maintenance crew to address.
Okay, because I feel it's a serious offense to be damaging public property. You know, we work so hard. And I think that the police should be notified in case they repeat, you know, offenders or whatever. It's just...
When our maintenance staff responds to graffiti, our general response is to call the police, have them come out and take a picture and have a report.
Okay, good.
They're not always available.
Sure.
To do that, obviously. But when they're available, they come out, and more times they do than not. Sometimes there's some very small amount of graffiti. We'll cover it up and move on. If it's significant, there's a big tag, we'll have the police come out and do a report. And we've been successful in apprehending some of those culprits.
Even if it's informal, it's just intolerable for people to damage, you know, what we've is actually, community property.
We've basically actually forwarded it on and received our restitution on some of those acts. So,
good.
So
good.
We do follow up. We take it real serious, and the public does too. We try to be as responsive as possible when those are reported.
Thank you.
Okay, I would like to add a priority list for performing a maintenance overlay of asphalt services because there's four or five different parks there. It might be helpful to prioritize. I'm sure certain parks have more of a need than others. So I would do it there, and I'd also do that for replacing the play structures.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you or anyone else?
Yes. Is there a particular priority in which those categories that you'd like to express
well,
or you want staff
yeah,
to work
I
on
mean,
those?
Yeah, I mean, Del Mar's paths, while they're, you know, the tree roots are making those paths pop up, making it dangerous for kids on and families on rollerblades to go down those paths.
Anyways,
no, they are. They're pretty. They're pretty bad over there at Del Mar.
Okay.
Kids like that. No, but I think Lila Kaiser, as you were saying, Joe. I mean, it's a real important part for sports and sport activity that brings in a lot to our community. And that park has some space, And if we continue to look into that park and do the refinements that we can, it brings revenue in, and for me, that's a priority.
Which park is that? The
Laura Kaiser.
Laura Kaiser for turfing, for asphalt? Is that what you're saying?
No,
or for
Joe
replacing
was asking about
clay structures?
If we were going to prioritize, I'm saying in general.
Items here. There's replacing clay structures, and then there's the maintenance overlay of asphalt.
Yeah,
so
I understand
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Joe.
You said Laila Kaiser would be your priority. It sounds like Del Mar would be a very, very close second. I would say this, as far as Del Mar, we are working with a company that is looking for access through our park, and we're trying to work on an agreement that we could share some responsibilities for the reconstruction of that parking lot. So if we were to do major asphalt work at that particular site, we would incorporate, as we've been mobilized, the walkways as well.
Okay.
So that might be sooner than later project.
Well, that's good to know.
And Kaiser is something that we might want to, instead of major reconstruction, and maybe run some numbers on some different methods through public services and engineering, that if we tried a different approach, maybe might be able to get some same results as opposed to a complete dig out and replacement. So we know that Kaiser needs a lot of work. It should be a high priority, and we're hoping that we can get a method that's going to be fundable.
Yeah, it does seem that it's lacked a certain element of design, or it's an incredible space, a location, and it's large. And, you know, for the area that's there, that's covered, which is fantastic. That usability can all get pushed out to the borders there.
I got it. I'm making a note of looking at if there's going to be some major reconstruction, that maybe we'll look at the design and where we put the planters and how we flow in and out of there. Anything else on asphalt? I can take any prioritize. Then the priority for playground structures has to do with age of the structure and condition.
Yeah.
And so you'll be looking at high priorities where we can't start pulling pieces off of a major structure. There'll be a point where there's nothing left that we'll have to replace the whole thing. So we're trying to keep play structures safe and compliant,
mm-hmm.
And replace. Whenever necessary, and we have these particular four on our radar right now. Any other questions on parks, work program? Then I would say that if you take a little bit of time and want to go through your priority of your work program on the end, these are capital projects. If you want to add something to this, now would be the time to do that. If not, you can circle those and get them to staff either tonight or via email or drop them off tomorrow, whatever you feel comfortable with. We'll be taking this document forward into the budget process as we look to justify. I don't know if we're going to be doing a zero-based budget this coming year. I would imagine we have been doing that, but as we go through the budget cycle and meeting with the council with their goals and priorities, if I can bring forward some of your high priorities as a commissioners to them, hopefully we could find some common ground and make some of our priorities their priorities, and particularly priorities get funded. And those funded projects get completed, and there's huge community benefits. So we're hoping that this is the cycle in which the work program is intended. It is on a bit of a short course this year, and we'd be looking to start this process a little earlier next year, actually at the end of 2013, and quite possibly having a separate workshop where we would invite members of the public a little bit more aggressively, and so we could have more participation with the community at large.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, this is a working document, and it's We're welcoming public comment via email. You know, all of our emails are on the website and Joe's email. And so the more public comment we have, the better. And then we can keep working on this document and make sure that it fits the community's needs. And we're really trying to conceptualize our vision for the city.
This does conclude the work program. There's no motions that are needed. It's just basically a consensus from the commission. It's not like we have a consensus of what we've talked about this evening. And we would just wrap up this item, which is B1. No, we didn't open and close any public comments, but we didn't have anybody here really to have a public comment. So I didn't mean to allow that to slip. Chair Crowley, I apologize. But if you want to go into your last two items as far as future agenda items, be a good time.
Sure. So does anybody have any future agenda items? Okay, seeing as there are none, Mr. Woods, do you have any? Okay. Can I get a... You do? You don't?
No.
I'll have it after the next.
Okay. Okay, so then can I get a motion to adjourn our meeting?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. You too. What's left of it?
See, you know, that over there, that's really going to be the off leash cat park. The one's going to be community guard now.
Cat park.
Sorry, I know what happened tonight.
We have a dog park. Right. Cat. Yeah. Well, they're loose on the beach anyway all the time. Dogs especially.
Where I was coming from is I figured those people would really know.
No, I agree.
And
I
have
agree.
Ideas, and they say, you know, this would go great in the shade. When I, you know, I could kill a.
Yeah, it's just there's not.
Painted
much, there's just not much room there.
No, there isn't. There's not a lot of room. But it's a cute little space.
It is.
And it's free, so I'm thinking the less we spend on it. The more we can
spend
on it. Yeah, but it's good that we feel that, you know, the value of Laura Kaiser, because that gives us juice with City Hall. Because Joe looks at them and, you know, we brought in, you know, 600 people, yada, yada, yada.
I mean, the more people
it strengthens our position.
Play their softball tournaments and then
right.
Kick back and eat and do all that.
Right.
That
well,
it's revenue producing.
On